Good afternoon. I'm Mike Herhold, president of the First Friday Club at Greater Akron, and I'd like to thank you for coming, and we're so pleased to have this big crowd, and welcome you on behalf of myself and the board of the First Friday Club to our March program. Our very special speakers for today are four local high school students who will speak to us about how God has walked with me through high school. Please silence your cell phones so that we can all enjoy today's program. After the presentation, you'll have the opportunity to write down some questions for our speakers. After the talk, we'll have a short announcement and a break to distribute, to collect those cards, and then have a question and answer session. It's now my pleasure to introduce Archbishop Hoban student, Nick Sack, who will offer our opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Most gracious and loving God, we gather today grateful for your presence and for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We ask your blessing upon the students who will share their stories of how your presence has impacted their lives during high school. Bless their parents and families who have served as their first examples of living the Catholic faith. Bless their friends, teachers, advisors, and school communities who have supported them. Fill all the young men and women present with the grace and fortitude they need as they continue to grow in relationship with you. As we share in this meal today, we ask you, God, to bless our conversation, to bless this food, and to bless the hands that have prepared it. We ask all things this day through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'd like to ask if we get the music turned off. Thank you. Are you standing? You're not standing. Okay. It's now my pleasure to introduce the president. I don't know if they're coming up one at a time or all together. They have it figured out. And they will be introducing our speakers.
I guess I'm the president of all four schools, so welcome. I'm just kidding. We're going to do it one at a time. And again, welcome everyone here today. And I'd like to start out by saying thank you to all the grade school children for being here today. And if you're a principal or a teacher or a staff member at one of the grade schools, you please stand up. Thank you. I do that because the four students behind us, it happened because it started more than likely at one of your grade schools. I know for our guest student today, Josh Stetz, started at St. Francis de Sales. And if I stood up here today and told you everything about Josh, we would be out of time. And I'm sure the other presidents can say the same about their students. But Josh really is a special young man. If you go to any event at St. Vincent St. Mary, if you go to any club event, most of the athletic events, all the academic accolades, there's one thing in common for sure, and that's Josh Stutz. This is my 10th year at St. Vincent St. Mary, and I'm blessed to be around all these students every day. But I can tell you this, not that I have a top five list, but if I did, Josh Stutz would be on that list. So again, I won't tell you what he's doing next year. I want him to explain that to you. And I'm sure when he's done speaking, you'll understand what I'm saying. Just what a special young man he is. To his parents, Eric and Lori, to his grandparents, Tom and Judy, wow, amazing. Amazing job and congratulations. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Stutz.
Well, there's a lot of you here. So first off, I'd just like to thank you all for coming, and especially my family and friends who all came to support me, and especially my uncle who came down from Columbus. So super excited to talk to all of you today, and I'm also super nervous. A friend of mine, in her professional opinion, has determined that I'm a nervous burper, so I'd like to apologize in advance for that. Whenever people think of God walking through... Whenever people think of God walking through them with their lives, I'm willing to bet that most of their minds go straight to the story of the two pairs of footprints on the sandy beach. Looking back, when there was only one set of footprints during the most difficult times, was when Jesus was carrying the person. Well, this is cute and all, but I like to imagine Jesus differently. I imagine Jesus walking us throughout the darkest valleys where the shadows of evil loom over us as an impenetrable darkness. As we climb mountains, cross rivers, and traverse dangerous swamps, he is with us the entire way. He is always there to wipe away the grime, the mud, and the crap that clouds our lives. Jesus has certainly done all these things in my life. You see, when I was in seventh grade, I became addicted, not to drugs, not to alcohol. No, something much worse for me. I became addicted to masturbation and pornography. I use the word addiction when I talk about this because it was truly an addiction. There are countless times where I felt I had no control over myself. I always knew it was wrong, but for some reason, I did it anyways, and afterwards I felt nothing but shame. This became a cycle that dominated my mind and body. I knew everything that would happen, but I was too weak to stop it. It took me a while, but I eventually went to confession. I can honestly say I've never felt any more shame in my life than at that moment. I never wanted to feel that way again. But from there, the journey was not easy. There were many times where I felt like I was breaking free, but somehow the devil always found a way to rope me back in. It was like I was stuck at the bottom of a well. No matter how far I got, no matter how close to climbing out I was, the top was always just out of reach. In the end, I always fell back to the bottom. Years of this went by, and I got nowhere. I went to confession, listened closely to every talk and witness on every retreat I went to, but somehow I couldn't break free of my addiction, and in the end, I was stuck in the same place. I've always been commended for how holy I looked while serving, and complimented for what a great young man I've been, but many times I felt anything but holy. It was almost like I was living a double life, and I hated it. I felt fake. As times wore on, my sins were slowly eating away at me piece by piece. I almost didn't even notice that they were slowly changing everything about me. I was thinking, talking, and acting differently. It began subtly destroying the other parts of my life as well. My temper tended to be shorter, and I would get into more arguments with my family. I was not as close to my friends as I could have been, and I often felt disconnected from everyone. Most of all, it was taking away my joy and freedom in my life and replacing it with fear and shame. If not for one specific time I received the sacrament of reconciliation, nothing would have changed. At the end of confession, when giving me the penance, the priest said to me, "Josh, I want you to pray saying, 'Jesus, I give you permission to take it all away.'" So after confession was over, I did just that. I said the words. And it did not feel instant, but at that moment, everything dragging me down was lifted off my shoulders. All the images locked into my brain, all the old habits, and all the shame fell away like they were nothing. I was now free of the terrible addiction that controlled me for so long. Not long after, I noticed how much easier it was to resist the temptations. I realized that only through Jesus was I able to regain control of my life. For so long, I wanted nothing more than for God to take it all away, but I never allowed him to do it. I was closed off to him, and it wasn't until I learned how to listen to God that I could let him help me. As time went on, and I was free longer, my relationship with my family had greatly improved, and I've become closer than ever to my friends. And my life has been filled with nothing but joy. As of today, March 1st, 2019, it has been 105 days since the last time I committed the sins of masturbation and viewing pornography. In these 100-some days, my life has changed for the better. I'm able to hear the voice of God more clearly in my life than ever before. When deciding to talk about this speech, I felt that God was pushing me towards this topic. I'm a Kairos leader at St. Vincent St. Mary, and I have previously given witnesses on different topics. They're the same one twice. And I could have easily tailored that to this talk today and to fit the theme, but I just felt like my heart was calling me in a different direction, and this is what God wanted me to say. I'm very aware that I just told my darkest secret to a large number of people, and many of them who I see often and am close with. But I believe this is what I need to do. I believe this is the final step in completely severing my ties that I had to my addiction. My newfound freedom has opened me up to the clarity of God's voice in other areas of my life as well. This coming fall, almost all graduated seniors will be going off to college. However, I will not be. After a lot of prayer, discussion, and discernment, I have decided to go to the seminary next year to discern the priesthood. I truly believe this is where God is calling me to go for the final, for the next step in my life, and I trust Him to guide me the whole way. Looking back through high school, it is evident that God has made the entire journey with me. He has placed countless people in my life who have steered me closer to Him, such as teachers, coaches, friends, priests, and family. And He has always picked me up when I have fallen. One of my favorite images of God, or of how God acts in our lives, comes from Victor Hugo's Les Miserables. It's in one of the closing scenes of the novel, where the main character, Jean Valjean, is running, and the revolutionaries are being chased by the army. A man by the name of Marius is shot, and Jean catches him as he's falling. In order to escape, they go into the sewer. And along the way, Jean has to carry him for hours and hours at end. At one point, they come across where the floor had descends, and it's filled with water and sludge. As he walks forward, he begins to sink into the layer of muck and water. The water gets so high that he almost drowns and is forced to rear his head back so in order to get air. For the entirety of this time he was like this, he held Marius high above his head, keeping him completely out of the water. God refuses to even let the bottoms of our feet get dirty, and He carries us high above His head as He wades through the mud, slime, and crap that fills our lives. This is how God carries us all through our lives. I would like to close with a prayer that, in recent times, has helped me become even stronger in my faith. The prayer is called the Anima Christi, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, let me never be. From the evil one, protect me. At the hour of my death, call me. And close to you, bid me, that with your saints, I may be praising you forever and ever. Amen. Father, bless me. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Father Basil Moreau, founder of the Congregation of Holy Cross, was emphatic in his belief that the education of young people must include empowering the heart as well as the mind. St. Hilary's and Archbishop Hoban's Athena Murkowski is a stellar example of someone who embodies that Holy Cross core value. She views her high school years as a true faith journey, a road which has taught her to be fully engaged in opportunities that have not only brought her pleasure, but as you'll learn, have ignited her interests and developed her leadership skills. In particular, it was as production editor of The Visor, Hoban's newspaper, that Athena has embraced her talent for writing. Her moderator says, her consistent, comprehensive, and meticulous reporting has helped the visor transform from a paper-only medium to a living, breathing, and professionally produced online website. She'll talk about the Spezunica retreat, which she credits for deepening her faith. One of her big takeaways from high school is that God is always with her. She's never alone. And she's seen how God is present in all the things in which she participates. With great pride, I give you Athena Markowski.
Thank you, Dr. Sweda. First off, I would like to thank everybody for being here, especially my amazing friends and family who have come out to support me. Blessed Basil Moreau, founder of the Congregation of the Holy Cross, once said, "How we educate the mind will change with the times. How we cultivate the heart is and will remain timeless." Last March, I attended Spezunica, a retreat focusing on Holy Cross spirituality in which students grow in their relationship with God, others, and themselves, all while recognizing that they are never alone. After three eye-opening days, my teacher leader assigned each person in our small group a Holy Cross core value. To one student, he gave discipline. To another, he gave hope. Yet when my leader got to me, I specifically remember him saying, "Oh, Athena, I knew yours from the very first day. You represent the cultivation of both the heart and the mind perfectly. Never let anyone change how you see the world with a kind heart and a smart mind." I don't think I'll ever forget my leader's words. To this day, I strive to live each day as someone who exemplifies the Holy Cross core value of cultivating the heart and the mind, always with the knowledge that God will lead me in the right direction and that he plans everything for a reason. From the day I arrived at Archbishop Hoban High School, I strive to live out their core values, values I had known since before I can even recall. I stem from a long line of Hoban graduates. My grandfather started the trend, graduating in 1959, and later sent his five children to the school on the hill. So I knew from the very beginning of my life I would one day enter Hoban and never look back. I attended my cousin's soccer games at Dowd Field, observed my sister cheer in Barry Gym, and even watched my dad play in alumni soccer tournaments, eagerly awaiting my turn and already practicing Hoban's core value of family. Our whole lives, my elder sister was the ringleader, and I looked up to her in more ways than one. Her determination, intelligence, and persistence all inspired me to want to be like her. With a three-year age gap, my sister Lexi assumed the leadership position, and I followed under her protective wing. My parents were constantly telling me, "Listen to your sister." So I quickly learned to follow where she led. I admired her, watching as she discovered herself at Hoban and wishing I could be as assured and confident as her. I saw Lexi succeed at Hoban academically, athletically, and mentally, and asked myself how I could become the Athena I was meant to be, even if I did not match Lexi's particular traits. But then Lexi left. Off to college she went, pursuing her dream of becoming a doctor. And there I was, left to figure out Hoban all on my own and how those 10 core values could shape me. In the beginning, I felt scared. I was finally on my own, left to write my own story. But with what? How could I make Hoban, a place I had known since birth, my own and a different experience from the dozens of family members who have attended? I soon found that with God, I was no longer a sheltered 15-year-old, afraid of her own ideas. By becoming engaged in my classwork and multiple extracurriculars, I gained insight into the person I wanted to be. Someone kind, compassionate, and caring. A friend to all. I quickly learned that becoming a person of integrity, another core value, is more valuable than many realize, and strive to become an example of how the values can help those searching for themselves. In my journey toward self-discovery, God and the core values followed wherever I went. I found his discipline in my schoolwork and was inducted as a member of the National Honor Society. I found his excellence in cheerleading, a sport I had loved since I was small, and was awarded 6 varsity letters in. Cheer became a place where I could showcase my God-given leadership abilities, while also highlighting the importance of teamwork. His zeal took me to many places, including Student Council, Italian Club, and The Visor, the student-run newspaper that I am incredibly honored to write for and to edit. Through all these activities and more, God's divine providence has shined its light upon me, as I have realized that he guided me towards these activities for a reason. Without his call for me to join The Visor, I may have never realized my passion for journalism. His guidance led me towards student council, where I strive to lead the student body with the values of integrity, inclusiveness, and family in mind. God has highlighted my purpose by summoning me to become involved and be an example of Christ in my daily life, calling me to become my best self in order to lead others toward their potential. With these values, the story of my Hoban experience turned into a novel, penned by an author who realized she did not have to be a carbon copy of anybody in order to succeed. She had all she needed in herself, God, and the core values. The strengths and interests I have garnered are different from anyone else's, and the core values have taught me that that's okay, that becoming my own person involves cultivating and nurturing the gifts God has given to me solely. My family, the amazing friends Hoban has given me, Hoban itself, and God, have helped me to realize my worth and my potential as a young leader, and I truly believe the core values strengthen this evolution. It took zeal, it took discipline, it took excellence, and it took a lot of divine providence. Yet I believe my retreat leader hit the nail on the head. The secret to my success lies in the fact that I have cultivated my heart just as deeply as my mind. I have worked tirelessly these past 4 years in polishing the person I am today, and through it all, I have come to the realization that having a heart just as strong as my mind will carry me far in life, and that with God's help, I can achieve anything I set my mind to. Now, as I continue my journey on to The Ohio State University, I will carry the values Hoban has so deeply engraved in me, never forgetting how they've helped establish who I am. I pray they will aid in my journey towards journalism, a field where I can nurture my love of writing without the expense of sacrificing my integrity. In particular, I hope to make my Spez Unica leaders' words a reality, to never forget the power of kindness and intelligence, and to continue cultivating my heart and mind, as neither can ever truly be too large. Thank you.
Good afternoon. First, I want to extend blessings to all of our speakers today, and also to extend a welcome to our young students who are with us. You're at an important part of your life, and as you're beginning to plot your future and your walk with God, we hope that today will help to inform that. So my name is Deborah Farquhar-Jones, and I'm the president of Our Lady of the Elms. It is my pleasure today to introduce our student speaker, member of the senior class, the class of 2019, Teresa Dom. Teresa joined the Elms community as a ninth grader 4 years ago. She's a member of Our Lady Help of Christians Parish in Lodi, and she arrived at the Elms with high expectations. In 4 years, Teresa has an amazing list of accomplishments. Because remember, at the Elms, every role, every position is held by a girl. So you have multiple opportunities to do whatever you want. She is an honor student whose favorite classes are in the sciences and English. She's an officer in the Elms student government. She has served on the faith and spirituality team. She participated in 3 sports all 4 years, volleyball, basketball, softball. She lettered in basketball all 4 years and lettered in the other 2 sports in multiple years. So I asked Teresa yesterday, so what are your plans for the future? And she shared with me the following. In addition to being accepted at all 5 colleges to which she applied, at the moment she's planning to attend the University of Akron, and here's why. She wants to be a lawyer and would love to be career military, and at Akron, she can become a member of the Army ROTC and, with fingers crossed, obtain both her undergrad and law degrees through their 3.3 program. It's an amazing goal, but remember, an Elms girl boldly discovers her way. Teresa's parents, Annie and David Dom, are here with us today. Thank you for coming. Her sister Olivia is a member of the Elms class of 2017. I would be remiss not to mention Cleo, the wonder dog, who along with brother Andrew, round out the Dom household. As I said, every role at the Elms is held by a girl. And so consequently, today I present to you captain of the basketball team and vice president of Elms Student Coalition, Senior Teresa Dom.
Hello, thank you for everybody for attending today, and thank you to my friends and parents who are here. Throughout high school, God has walked with me in more ways than I have ever realized. At some points, I did not realize that God was with me, and it caused me to lose my faith, but my family, friends, and Elms community helped keep me grounded. During my freshman year, I was playing a JV volleyball game, and we had just won. My coach said I was going to be allowed to play varsity that night, and I remember running with joy to tell my dad and sister who were at the game. When I found my dad in the hallway, he was on the phone, and I knew something was wrong. He hung up and told me to get my stuff and get to the car. Once we were all in the car, my dad told my sister that my grandma and aunt were hit by a semi-truck in a terrible car accident. The only thing we knew at that point was that my grandma was being life-flighted to a hospital in Cleveland in life-threatening condition. While on our way to the hospital, we received a call saying my aunt had died. I was crushed. I was close with my aunt, and now she was gone. While in the car, my dad suggested that we pray that my grandma would be okay and that Aunt Nora would watch over in heaven. I tried to ask God to allow my grandma to make it through this, but I was just full of so much anger. We arrived at the hospital only to hear that my grandma was in surgery and that we wouldn't know anything for a while. While I was waiting, I was just thinking about how sad I would be if I lost my grandmother, too. My grandma and I are very close, and I was just recalling all the things we did together in my mind, thinking that it might be over soon. All the time we spent gardening when I went over to her house after school, all the card games, watching Wheel of Fortune. Watching Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, and baking her famous chocolate chip cookies together. I wasn't ready for those things to be over. What seemed like an eternity later, my grandma finally made it out of surgery. She was in stable condition, but I still couldn't allow myself to thank God. I was still angry. Over the next few days, my healing and hurt were helped by all my family who came to the hospital to see my grandma and to do whatever they could to help. The love and support didn't end when I returned to school, for my friends and teachers were all there for me, giving me the space if I needed it or giving me a shoulder to cry on. Slowly, I started to forgive God and understand that things like this happen for a reason, even if I never know that reason. I never really figured out my anger with God. I just kind of accepted it and moved on. My doubt in my faith was resolved until my sophomore year when I experienced a life-altering concussion playing basketball. It was a few games into our basketball season, and we were playing our rivals, Lake Center. I jumped to get a ball and got hit in the temple by an elbow. Immediately, I fell to the ground and realized something wasn't right. I couldn't open my eyes properly, and I felt very sick. Later that night, I was diagnosed with a severe concussion. Little did I know how drastically this was going to affect me, for I had been playing sports my whole life without a major injury. It started with missing a few days of school that turned into weeks, which turned into a total of 2.5 months. I was so frustrated and lost that I started to blame God. Some might think that I'm lucky that I didn't have to be in school for so long, but for once, I wished I could go to school. I couldn't concentrate, it made me nauseous to eat, and I wasn't allowed to do any of my homework, so I was falling behind and couldn't do anything about it. I sat on my couch all day, either sleeping or just sitting there feeling sorry for myself. When I tell you that I just sat on my couch, I literally just sat on my couch. I wasn't allowed to watch TV, I wasn't allowed to read a book, I couldn't use my phone. The only things I were allowed to do was eat, but I didn't have an appetite, sit on my couch doing nothing but stare at the wall, and sleep. But after you spend all day sleeping, you aren't tired. I was constantly at the doctor's office, where at first nothing was getting better. In fact, it was getting worse. At the next doctor's appointment, they started tests to see if I would be allowed to start trying to do my homework. The results indicated that my ability to test and to concentrate had dropped a significant amount. About a month and a half into my concussion, my headaches and sickness slightly improved, so the doctor allowed me to watch some TV, so I finally wasn't as bored. I had some friends suggest that maybe I take time to pray and ask God to help me heal, but in my head, that was out of the question. After this, I was convinced that God wouldn't be my healing hand. Returning to school was difficult and I struggled, but again, it was my friends and teachers within the Elms community who helped me regain balance. The Elms didn't allow me to feel sorry for myself or give up, but they never stopped supporting me and never let me lose sight of staying grounded in my faith and my goals. Without the Elms, I wouldn't be the strong young woman leader I am today. Through these learning experiences in my life, the Elms managed to remind me how important the four Dominican pillars of prayer, preaching, study, and community are. Through these obstacles, I learned that prayer isn't really a significant part of my life, but when I do take the time to talk to God, I feel relief and happiness. I also learned that preaching isn't always some huge talk in front of groups of people, but rather my opening up and sharing experiences with my family and friends. Preaching taught me that sharing my struggles have helped me grow closer to God. Study may seem to be the odd one in terms of fitting into my experience, but the Elms has managed to remind me that study is important even through the hard times. Being able to focus my attention on academics has given me a way to balance the challenging things in my life. The last pillar, community, is what has gotten me through all of this. The Elms community and my family are my rocks. On days that I am angry, someone is always there to help calm me down, and on days that I am sad, my family and friends surround me with love. On days that school frustrates me, my teachers are there to help me find solutions. God may not always be in the center where I wish he was, but I don't let that shake my faith. My family and the Elms community are the reasons I have felt God has walked with me through high school. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Carl Ertl, president of Vince Rizzo's High School, Walsh Jesuit. And what an honor it is to tell you a little bit about the life of our speaker, a graduate of St. Joseph Grade School and the son of Kristen and Joe Rizzo of Cuyahoga Falls. The man who will address us today is deeply committed to all things Jesuit and has lived our profile of the graded grad, characteristics that we challenge our alumni to embrace. There are five: open to growth, academically excellent, loving, religious, and committed to justice. As his older brother Joe wrote to me in an email from Ohio State, it has been an honor to watch Vince embrace all of these characteristics, and Elena telling me that he is so smart and such a good friend as well as brother. He's the same to his classmates, and whether he is excelling in the classroom, leading a rally as class officer, or the talent show as the MC, or inspiring all of us as he returned from a devastating knee injury last year to return to being a two-sport varsity warrior athlete. Vince does it all with a smile that exhibits his love for Jesus. He keeps track of those classmates and teachers he needs to pray for, his mom told me, so that he can challenge himself to be that man for others. Perhaps that is no more evident than in his Lavra work, as he goes out more than any student at Walsh Jesuit with the Walsh Jesuit family into the streets of Akron each Monday night to bring friendship to the homeless folks who have become part of his extended family. Vince is an honor student and is so well respected by teachers and students alike, including his longtime friend, Tommy Cummings, who said, "Vince is the most caring Christian I have ever met." High praise indeed from a peer. Vince will study business and education at Marquette next year to continue his formation as a grad at grad. Please welcome Walsh Jesuit senior, Vince Rizzo.
Thought it'd be really cool to pull this out of my jacket. That kind of cool. So, as Mr. Ertl so kindly said, Vince Rizzo, I just want to take a quick second before I get into things to thank a few people. First and foremost, my parents. Hello? There we go. So, first and foremost, to my parents. Obviously, scientifically speaking, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. But on a more real level, the foundation that they've built for me on faith has, you know, that's why I'm here. So everything that I say, good or bad, just because of them. Secondly, I've got an older brother, Joe. He's not able to be here. He's at Ohio State. My younger sister, Elena, they've taught me more than anyone else in my life. My grandparents, both who are the most faithful people I know. I remember growing up Wednesdays. Still to this day, my grandma has her prayer group. I remember going to that when I was younger. For my friends, who have, you know, enriched my experiences, and for the Walsh Jesuit family that I'm blessed to be a part of. So when Mr. Ertl first approached me to write this, I was excited, I was ready. I went straight to the library after he came up to me, and I just started writing. I was like, this is going to be awesome, I'm going to do this, this is going to be great. I wrote a couple pages, and I was like, something's missing, you know, something's not there. Took a few days off, came back, and I was like, all right, this is it. I'm going to talk about my different service experiences. Sat down, wrote a couple more pages, and I was like, there's something missing. And it wasn't until last week in my ninth period AP Environmental Sciences class when it hit me that, you know, this talk on the surface, yes, it's about me, but at its core, this is, you know, about other people because of other people, you know, God has walked me through high school. So I'm kind of going to break it down into three parts, chapters, whatever you want to call them. So the first is the phrase AMDG. So Ad Moriam De Gloriam, this is a phrase that is seen all over Walsh. It's on our football field. It is on every jersey that I've seen. In every single classroom, there's bulletin boards, and it's on there. So freshman year when I came into Walsh, I was kind of lacking in my faith. Like, you know, I went to Mass every Sunday with my parents, but I wasn't where I needed to be, wasn't where I wanted to be as a Catholic. And, you know, it's tough to think about because as a freshman, I came in thinking, okay, I've got an older brother. He's a senior. He's a good kid. He plays football. He's a captain. So I'm going to be a cool kid. I'm going to play football, get by in school, and that's who I wanted to be. And, you know, it's tough standing up here thinking about that, saying that, because it's weird, you know, recognizing that I missed kind of a year in the journey of my faith life. But at the same time, looking back on it, it's because of that experience, you know, that I am who I am today. So part two is the phrase men and women for and with others. So this is a phrase that I love. It's one of my favorite, possibly my favorite phrase that I've heard the last 4 years. And so there are two kind of big things where this phrase has most been embodied. And so number one, so one of my best friends, Matt Driscoll, he's here today. There he is. The sophomore year, week four of the football season, we were playing St. Francis, and Friday morning we woke up in our friend group chat, and, you know, we got that text from him that was, hey, man, guys, I'm diagnosed with leukemia. And it's tough because you're not sure, you know, how to feel, where to go. And because of Walsh, you know, the men and women for others that they, the whole community is, I remember walking into school, and it was just it was dead silent. You know, it was a solemn day, and I walked in, saw one of my buddies, and I gave him one of the biggest hugs and just started to cry. And it was one of those things where it's okay, and Walsh made that comfortable. And, you know, the community of Walsh all mourned, all prayed that day. And that is a place where I've seen God especially. You know, the community at Walsh, every single person that comes into that building, has been through that building, is a man or woman for and with others, and that's something special. So the second part is through the service. You know, this phrase, men and women for and with others. A big part that's forgotten of that phrase is the with others, and I associate that with service. The biggest place that I have seen God and faith, my faith life that has strengthened me the most, is through service. The last 4 years I've had the opportunity to attend two immersion trips, which are Walsh's mission trips. I went to Ohio City for a lower scale one, and then last summer I was able to go to Immokalee, Florida. And then, you know, these two trips, you know, they're week-long trips where you immerse yourself into the culture that you're not used to. And every day on these trips, my eyes were opened even more. You know, the lens of which God sees people was clear for me. And, you know, that's just been enriched through the LABRA program. So for those of you that don't know, we have a program at Walsh. It's called our LABRA program. In this program, every Monday night for the last, I think, 642 weeks, we've gone out to the streets of Akron and fed the homeless. But a big thing that Mr. Plaspol, who kind of runs and has set up the LABRA program, the main thing that he says is it's not about the food. Yes, it's important, but it's not about the food. The relationships you form with these people, that's what's important. That's why you're going out. And one of his main lines, as you drive away from Walsh to the Akron, the exits, The biggest thing he says is somewhere today, you know, you're going to feel that presence. And you're not going to know what it is. You're not going to know why it's there, but you're going to feel a presence. And that presence is God. And every Monday night that I go out, whether it's with Mark by the railroad track or Stace in the woods, funny guys, you know, I feel that presence and I see God in those people. And that's something special, in a big way that God has walked me through high school. But, you know, the chapter I'm on now, the third part, is St. Ignatius's line of seeing God in all things. So last year I was blessed with the opportunity to attend a Kairos retreat, and this retreat really helped me to grow in the relationship with God, myself, and others. So one of the biggest things that I've taken away from that, and one of the biggest emphases is, I don't know if that's a word, sorry about that. One of the things that they emphasize on this retreat is, you know, seeing God in all things. That's one of the talks, that's one of the main points. And I really struggled with this before the retreat because I was like, you know, how do I see God? Where do I see God? You know, how am I supposed to stay in communication with him when I can't hear him? I don't get any responses. And, you know, I realized after this retreat that, you know, I wasn't looking hard enough. So there have been three main ways where I see God most transparently and clear cut. Number one is nature. So on Kairos, after someone gave a talk about, you know, I can't think of the name. It was about, you know, prayer life and being Christian. And I struggled a lot before this retreat with my prayer life. I wasn't the strongest rooted in, you know, written out, pre-written prayers. Obviously, they're important, but I didn't feel a connection. I didn't feel that immediate connection with God. And this talk helped me to realize that, you know, you can just talk to him like he's one of your friends. That's all you need to do. And so I remember vividly, there's this picture in my head, forever ingrained, and I walked down a path, and I sat on a bench, these beautiful grounds, and I looked up, and I just started talking. And as I was talking, this light came through the trees. It was the fall, and I was just like, he's right there. You know, I see him. I see God in all things. And that really hit me big time. So number two is art, you know, through quotes and music especially. You know, so one thing that I have noted is, you know, whatever lines, whatever lyrics hit you the deepest, you know, to me, that's God talking to me. You know, he's speaking through other people. You know, those lines that hit you, that strike deep, that's God talking to you. You just have to look and listen a little harder. And the third part, which is the biggest place where I clear-cut see God, is through love. Number one, you know, and this is for everything, is family. You know, I've got my immediate family here, the Walsh Jesuit family, my friends, you know, and that's where I see God most. You know, the love, whether it be with my family, you know, our 12-hour car rides to the beach, or, you know, sitting down every night and eating dinner with them. You know, that's where I see God. I see God in the love that they provide for me. You know, through my friends, the moments that I spend with them, you know, where you struggle to, you know, when they become memories, you struggle to put those moments into words, and that's where I see God, those moments that you can't fully describe in words. And then, you know, through Walsh, the power of a smile is something that I've recognized a lot these last 4 years. I mean, being able to walk through the hallway and not know someone, but they greet you with a smile, they greet you with a hello, that's something special. I see God in those smiles. And then overall, you know, just in the world, whenever you're, you know, with someone and you spend time with them, and you're smiling, you're laughing, you just lose track of time. You know, that's where I see God. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. You know, that's the chapter that I am in right now, and I'm enjoying every second of that, every word that I'm writing down. So I want to leave you guys with a poem. It's titled "The Invitation" by Oriah Mountain Dreamer. You know, I could have read this from the beginning and annotated on it for about 2 minutes, and that could have been my whole talk, but I figured I'd give you guys the long version. But I encourage each and every one of you guys to accept whatever, wherever, and whenever, you know, God sends an invitation to you. So it doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, or for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon, I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you have been opened up by life's betrayals, or have become shriveled and closed from the fear of future pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it, to fade it, or to fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own. If you can dance with the wilderness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic, or to remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be your true self. If you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul. If you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it is not pretty every single day. And if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you make. I want to know if you can get up after the night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done in order to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. Thank you.
How lucky are we, folks, to experience that? Now to some mundane announcements. Please raise your hand if you would like, if you're going to have a question ready. If you have a question ready, they will be collecting those soon, so get those questions ready. Our next First Friday, we'll be here at Tangier on April 5th with a presentation by Andrew Davis and David Monter of Catholic Charities, who will speak on the timely topic of recovery life, hope beyond opiate addiction. If you're listening to the podcast of this on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations in three ways. Send a check for $20 to the First Friday Club, 795 Russell Avenue, 44307. You can call our number at 330-535-7668 each month, or make reservations online at Eventbrite. If you do sign up for monthly, please make sure that your reservation is turned in before Tuesday of that week. We still are selling six-month packages at a discount, so please consider doing that if you are at all interested. We are working on the schedule for next year and have some very interesting speakers lined up already. And once again, Bishop Perez will be with us and national correspondent John Allen, who are always a joy to listen to. Please consider recommending us to a friend also. If you're not on our mailing list, please make sure that one of us gets your email, and we will keep you apprised of what's going on. First of all, I'd like to recognize the parents of our speakers. Would parents and families of our speakers please stand up or wave from your seat? I'd also like to recognize, and you can stand for us, I'd like to recognize the students from Archbishop Hoban, Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Walsh Jesuit. Please stand. And now for the big group, I'd like these folks to all stand up. Our young people from Holy Family, Immaculate Heart of Mary, St. Barnabas, St. Mary Akron, and St. Sebastian. Please stand, young people. And a if you haven't already stood, first-time attendees. Any other folks who are here for the first time? Now I'd like to introduce First Friday Club board member Jackie Vigneault, who is the person who organized today's program, and she's going to handle the questions and answers. Have we picked up some questions? Does anybody have a question from the floor? We've never had this happen before. Yes, sir. What would you consider to be your best accomplishment in your high school experience? So we'll just keep the microphone passing down the line.
So it's a close tie between either being a Kairos leader, but I think that takes seconds to being the co-founder of the Welsh Jesuit Salsa Club.
Also with Vince, I have two that kind of come close. Becoming a two-time All-American, where I could kind of become a leader on the team, but also obviously becoming the editor of the Advisor, where I know it's going to lead you down the road.
I was not prepared for this. I would have to say my best accomplishment at Our Lady of the Elms would probably have been this past year becoming the captain of the volleyball team as well as the basketball team.
I would say for me it would be becoming a Kairos leader.
Anything else? Oh, come on, folks.
One over here.
One over there. Good and loud.
Called The Invitation by Oriah Mountain Dreamer. You can have this copy if you'd like.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're running short of time. Okay. Again, we want to thank them, and please extend your applause and appreciation again to our speakers. And now we have a special event that doesn't take place on a regular basis. I would like to ask our four presidents to come forward with something special they have for the First Friday Club.
Thanks, Mike. Again, as presidents of the local high schools, we said to ourselves, you know, we need to do something for the First Friday Club because they do so much for so many. And so this first year, and I think we're going to try to make it an annual event. See, students love dress-down days. And it's amazing when you say for $2 you can dress down for the day. They love it. So all four high schools did that this last week. And we raised $2,200 for the First Friday Club.
We greatly appreciate that because our budget is all kind of put together as to we make a little bit on the dinners. We have patrons that help us, you know, raise funding. And our whole purpose is, of course, to bring the best, most interesting speakers, you know, of Catholic speakers to the community. And we've been doing this for 15 years, 16 years. So 17 or 18, okay. We really appreciate this kind of support, and Tom kind of spearheaded that at one of the board meetings, and we said we'd be so happy to be able to do that. Now I would like to, and this won't be hard to get her here, I'd like to introduce Teresa again, who will offer our closing prayer.
Then she left in her chair.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear God, thank you for allowing all of us to gather here today. We are grateful for the opportunity to share our experiences of your presence in our lives. We ask for your continued guidance, grace, and blessings on all present, but especially for all seniors as we prepare to move on to college, the next step on our journey with you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you so much, Teresa. I want to thank everyone for coming, and we hope that we'll see some of you back here next month on April 5th. Safe travels.
Yeah.